now we got ourselves a little radio program, huh?
All right.
So how you been, buddy?
I've been really, really good. Just living in Atlanta, Georgia, and drinking my face off and eating fine food and living the good life.
Living the good life up there in one of those little palatial estates in Georgia?
Well, I live, we own a loft here in Midtown Atlanta, and it's very nice. I get to drink to my heart's content, stare out my window at 3 in the morning and watch all the prostitutes, which is always fun entertainment.
Oh, yes. I'm sure you... Actually, no, you're a married man.
Indeed I am.
So, happily married for a while. How is the lovely bride?
Oh, she's fantastic, Jenna. And, we're still happily married, believe it or not. I think I just... I got so much of that out of my system over through all those years that, and I was able to find actually the perfect woman because she matches me sexually and she matches me intellectually, so.
And she knows your past and she doesn't hold it against you.
Oh, hell, her mom used to drive her to dwarf shows when she was in high school.
So I am speaking to Vag Moore, ex-drummer of the Dwarves, also ex-drummer from Phoenix Thunderstone and Neither World, and he has his own project, Thonic Force, that's been around for, when did that come out, start out, 98?
I think about 98, 90, well, I conceived of it 98, about 99 I think is when the first record came out, and I had a bunch of my pals join me on that, so Monty Kazaza, Boyd Rice, Peter Sotos, Thomas Thorne, Cole Palm from Factrix added some stuff to the first album. So that was nice. And so I've been able to work with all of my heroes from the noise music scene.
Right, right. And this was your turn to be the front man of your own project.
Yeah, and I think it turned out pretty well. In fact, it's amazing. Brian Clark from Discriminant Audio, he was really interested in putting out a best of Thonic Force, which obviously he now has. And it was really interesting after it was all sequenced and put together, and he sent me the copy to listen back to all those tracks. And hey, I was a noise music fan, when I was a kid. If I was not me, I would listen to Thonic Force and think it was just absolutely fantastic.
And so, how many releases you guys? The one or two full-length CDs?
There was a full-length CD called Thonic Force that came out on World Serpent. Then, but before that, there was a split single with Neither World, where Thonic Force did a song called Mouth Pigs, and featuring my good friend Peter Sotos on vocals. And then after that, after the full-length CD, there came out a vinyl on Ha Rock, which was Gatha Damon. And a Gatha Damon is pretty, I guess it's pretty hard to find. The distribution wasn't great.
Right.
It was just vinyl. I think there was maybe only 1,000 made. But a good amount of the songs on Delirium Tremens, which is the best of Thonic Force, has most of the tracks from a Gatha Damon on it, and they really stand up pretty well.
Nice. And if people wanted to order that, they can get it through?
They can go to www.vagmore.com, or they can go to Discriminant Audio, I believe it's .com. Or they can just go to Boyd Rice's site, go to the news section, and there's a mention that Boyd appears on this record, and they can click on that.
Right.
There's various avenues to go to. So,
if they want
it's readily available.
Right. Any distribution into any record stores or anything, or is it mostly just mail order?
We're just doing mail order. We're just like we've only released a limited edition of 100, and those 100 have personally signed copies by me. One late night drunk on wine.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure you can read it, but there were limited edition, and then we're gonna we want to see how that sells, and then if there's more demand, we'll release more.
Right. So do you want to listen to a track off of the record now, or do you before we talk about your other avenues of release, as it were, like your writing?
Why don't we listen to one of my favorite tracks? It's actually I took the lyrics from a book by Jack London, from his book John Barleycorn, which was sort of his story about how, you know, he loved to drink, and he drank so much that it almost killed him.
Right.
Something I can identify with. And it's called White Logic. So why don't you play that?
All right, we'll listen to this from Phonic Force, the best of. And Vagmore is on the phone with me. He'll be here. If you want to talk to Vagmore, actually, I actually got a guest coming in, a professor, actually, from the anthropology department here at Stanford. He's going to come in, who's a leading authority on pop culture and underground music. And Dr. Alcard is going to be here, and he's got a few questions for you, Vag, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
All right, so he'll be joining us in a few minutes. And right now, though, some Phonic Force. It is White Logic, KZSU, Stanford. Yes, White Logic there by Phonic Force. Vag Moore, who is on the phone with me right now.
Depression is the opiate of the masses.
Great track there. So
yeah, it's really, I mean, it's kind of, that song sort of sums up the Best Of album, because the Best Of album is called Delirium Tremens, which is what happens when you severely abuse alcohol. And that song is by, or the lyrics are from Jack London, so, and he certainly understood how to abuse alcohol in the right manner.
And you've abused a few of your bottles of alcohol yourself over the years?
I'm abusing alcohol right now.
As we speak. So since you've left the Dwarves, and are you still playing the drums at all?
No, it's really something I've sort of dropped completely.
Really?
Although... My wife has been sort of pressing me to... I'm probably going to buy a really nice DW kit and just have sort of a, you know, rehearsal place somewhere where I can just smash away at the drums.
Right.
Because, I mean, it is something that I've done ever since I was a kid. Thing was, I started doing it when I was really, really young and pretty much played in bands damn near my entire life. Spent almost my entire life just doing nothing but rehearsing, writing songs, touring, recording records, and... I don't know, I just got really fucking tired. Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon my French.
Yeah.
Got really gosh darn tired of it. And so I just dropped it. But I know that, you know, it's obviously my blood being a drummer.
Right. Yeah.
So I am going to go back to it. I am going to pick up the sticks again. And just if for nothing else, just for my own enjoyment.
Right. But I mean, right now you just got other things to occupy your life in and time and whatnot,
yeah.
doing and
well,
stuff.
Specifically, writing. I mean, I'm doing a lot of writing. That's pretty much all I do right now. And other than releasing this Best of Sonic Force thing, but and in fact, I just spoke with Wendy Van Dusen, my partner in crime on Sonic Force, about 2 days ago, and she's working on new tracks right now for the next Sonic Force. So that's going to happen, but that's something I can do in studio. It has nothing to do with me playing the drums.
Right.
Definitely not a rock and roll milieu. It's something, you know, it's what it is. It's noise. But I will be adding the vocals, and the lyrics will be from my new work, which is Psychopathy, which is a sort of a nihilist prose work that I'm working on. It's sort of 21st century Lautremont Malderer or Desaad, you know. It's kind of sinking my hand into my perverted guts and pulling out all the bizarre shit that I've done all my life, and then at the same time, being sort of influenced by my perverted imagination. So it's going to be it's really an interesting book, and I'm about a third of the way done with that right now.
So it's kind of autobiographical, but not completely.
It's like I've told some people, it's all based in truth. Some things are based in fact, of things I actually experienced. Other things are based in fact, but a little exaggerated. So
right, that you know you got to do for interest of readers and whatnot.
Oh, absolutely.
And stuff. Do you have any of the? Do you want to have any of the book handy that you want to? Do you want to read a passage out of it or anything? Throw this out at you.
Well, sure. Why not?
You know, if you got a copy on the old coffee table there, handy.
I do.
Of course you do.
Let's see what we have here. Nice bedtime story for the kiddies.
Yes.
I'm not sure. Like, since this is unrehearsed, are you sure? You won't be thrown off the air.
Well, you know, try to read a tamer passage. If you can.
Let me see what I can find here that's not too bad.
I know that's going to be hard to do, but, you know, you can wing it a little bit for me. So have you gotten to see what you're looking for that? Have you gotten to see the Dwarves as they pass through Atlanta?
Yeah, the Dwarves were here, must have been about a year and a half ago, and they were fantastic. I also went up and visited them when they played Baltimore, because my friend Chris X lives up there from Reptilian Records. And, I would actually sang backseat of my car and F you up and get high on stage with them. So that was fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. All right. How's this?
All right.
I'll try to edit myself so it's not too nasty. The pleasures to be tasted in this life are innumerable. Brand new possibilities open up every day. Fueled by sadism and a keen sexual appetite, I can extract delicacies from every conceivable situation. The whore on the street, drunk and wobbly, demeaned, sloppy, voice hoarse from cigarette and crack smoke, liver splotchy and rotting from the constant wave of malt liquor and bourbon splashing up against it. That dodgy stare and twitching facial expression that reveals, for those with eyes to see, the vast amount of emotional and physical pain that this slag has to endure on a daily basis and forever. Delicious. The pathetic, overweight loser that will remain a virgin until the day he dies, stuffing his bloated, pudgy face with cream and fried everything, a giant tomb of lard and sodium diligently being erected around him as he lumbers to an early, painful, diabetic death. The homeless, dirty waste that wanders about aimlessly all day. The only destinations, the soup kitchen, at prescribed hours, and the border's bookstore bathroom stall where he can leak out of his ass the runny meal of rice, beans, and barely flavored lukewarm tap water soup. He's full of shame as I watch him quickly glance around to ensure that nobody sees him swoop deep into the corner garbage can for an abandoned hamburger previously gnawed on by suburban trash and crap-covered flies. The crying 4-year-old child being hollered at and smacked by an overwhelmed, filled with regret mother who got too pregnant too soon and married an angry drunk who takes out his hatred for his mother on his barely tolerable wife, a beautiful snapshot that entangles three horrible lives in one exciting embrace. Scrumptious. The guy that crawled slowly to the top of a 100-foot crane, perched there and waiting for the requisite amount of courage or self-loathing to consume him so that he can launch himself onto the scaffolding and the concrete below, but can't even bring himself to carry out this seemingly simple deed, and only succeeds in getting himself featured on the evening news for all to see, before being coaxed down and booked by police, and later beaten by inmates in the local jail. Exquisite. The woman who was raped and whose entire family was killed by a brutal home invasion that left her severely scarred, and wondering how the good Lord could allow such a thing to happen to such a good Christian church-going family such as they. Have mercy, I can go on and on and on and on. So, when you think that life holds too few real pleasures, that every day is an intolerable bore, the fault might not lie with the rest of the world. The fault might lie with you. Perhaps with just a tad more discernment and a healthy dash of imaginative perversity, you may be able to extricate and cull from even the most common of situations a pleasing, delectable dish, a rare, mouth-watering morsel, a misanthropic treat that you can muse over in your reveries forever. How's that, kids?
Oh, that's very, very nice. And that's from the upcoming book, hopefully released, entitled what?
Psychopathy.
Psychopathy. And who are you shopping that around to?
Nobody yet. I'm just writing
still
it.
Still writing it?
Yeah, I'm just writing it, not worrying about it. I'm sure I know somebody who's going to definitely put it out. But I'm just writing it, not worrying about all that, not rushing, just taking my time.
And some of your other fascinations are with the occult. And the dark side, as it were, maybe, and stuff.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
I have actually with me who came in, heard you're going to be on tonight, and was excited to come down. He's a professor here at Stanford of the anthropology department. He's also a leading authority on pop culture and underground music, and his name is Dr. Alucard. And I want to welcome him to the program right now. Welcome. Thanks for coming down this evening. Vag Moore is on the phone. And he's Dr. Alucard is familiar with your writings and with your musical works and whatnot, and was excited to come down and have a chance to talk to you this evening. So say hello.
Hello, Dr. Alucard.
Oh, big chief, is this the? is this the?
Yeah, yeah. Bring it on. It's on. Yeah, bring it in to you close.
Okay.
So, Dr. Alucard,
is this Mr. Moore?
Indeed, this is.
Hello, Mr. Moore. How are you?
I am very fine. How are you?
I'm very excited to speak with you tonight.
And as am I with you.
Well, thank you. I've followed your career for a long time now.
I'm sure you have.
You know, Mr. Moore. you know, I've traveled from Burma to Argentina.
Uh-huh.
I've gone on train rides, on commuter train rides in Algiers.
Yes.
And from country to country to country. You keep popping up, and it started intriguing me.
Well, that's because I'm a very intriguing person, Mr. Heskett. Alucard.
Mr. Heskett himself is someone that I followed very closely after.
Okay, that's it. We got to, you know, I'm sorry, folks. There's been a lie perpetrated here. I'm terribly sorry. This is not a doctor. It is indeed the legendary Sean Heskett, Phoenix Thunderstone, Inferno of Joy.
It is Sean Heskett. Vag, you are very wise beyond your years, and your years are many, as we know.
Oh, They are very, very many.
And, yeah, Sean is in the studio with me.
Fantastic.
He came down tonight just to talk to you because he loves you so much.
I love Sean.
Hi, Gaga. Please bring some more tarred clown gas.
Tarred clown gas is good. I'm sorry, people. This is a reference to something emails that he and I were sending. So ignore the delirium.
Right, right. Anyways, Inferno of Joy, actually, Sean's new band was scheduled to play also tonight in the studio, but unfortunately had to cancel due to Hugh falling out of a tree yesterday and breaking his shoulder.
Oh, Hugh. I always told him he's got to wrap himself more tightly in those trees.
I know when he's peeping out at people, peeping into people's windows, it's very important.
Oh, he's still doing that.
Yes, yes.
You know, some pirates never change.
Arr, they don't.
And so what other works are you writing on, Vag?
In terms of the occult stuff, I'm rewriting Infernal Initiations, which is essentially a book that pretty much covers my version of what Thonic is. And Thonic is a Greek word that means the underworld, the underground, and the essential hidden aspect.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No, that's completely incorrect. That is completely incorrect.
Are you being the professor now?
No, the whole rude was Sean was gonna he was gonna take a little liberties of messing with you, but
you
foiled that little attempt.
Well, there's always too many. There's too many. He knows all my voices. He knows all my comedic routines.
I've heard way too many of those little voices that you do.
Right, and you know what? You know who Alucard is?
I don't.
It's Dracula spelled backwards.
Come on, I thought that's where I gave it away. Come on.
I didn't realize that. That is brilliant.
Sean's quite brilliant himself, you know. You're not the only brilliant mind in the camp.
No, I'm not.
So the other book that you're rewriting is, what's going to happen with that? That's going to be released at some point, I assume?
Yeah, I think I just tried to rush it too much before, and now I'm just, I got nothing but time, baby.
Right. Yeah, don't rush it, honey. Don't. Sex is good slow, too.
That's right.
You know?
Take it slow.
It's nice when you take your time.
And
take your time.
So deep.
The forward of the book is written by Boyd Rice?
Indeed it is, yes.
And is that on your webpage?
There's like a small quote from...
No, there's not.
Look here, professor.
And that's vagmore.com, of course.
That would be www.vagmore.com.
And also myspace.com/thonicforce.
Does that have an 800 number?
No, luckily not.
No, I got to get an 800 number for myself.
800 numbers. Operators.
There should be a Sean Heskett sex line.
There should be. You know what I was going to do? I wanted to start a sex therapy institution.
You want to start a sex therapy?
Yeah, I think I'd be good at sex therapy, you know?
Who's going to give you therapy?
Yeah, I probably need therapy.
That's
before
like the
anyone.
Blind leading the blind, right?
Hey, I'm telling you, the only person that's more sick and twisted than me in the sex department is certainly Sean Eskin. Well, Peter Sotos.
Yeah, Peter comes to a good, second.
First, then me, then Sean Eskin.
No, I'm pretty damn vanilla, you know. I keep it clean. I keep it Christian,
homogenized.
Just because you like your poop to taste like vanilla.
Come on, we can't talk like that. Oh, now we're going into the poop. We're going into the poop jokes.
Look at that! Right after 10 o'clock, it goes right in the dumper.
All right,
get it, dumper.
All right.
Yeah, you're listening to KZSU Stanford. I'm joined by Vag Moore on the phone, all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, and Mr. Sean Heskett. Sitting right beside me from Inferno of Joy. Vag, so the best of Thonic Force, which is now available by going to your webpage, vagmore.com. Let's listen to another track off of it. What do you say?
Yeah, let's why don't we do King of the World. Is a good song.
King of the World is a fine, fine track. So here is King of the World by Thonic Force off of the best of Thonic Force record and available limited edition of 100 copies signed by Mr. Vag Moore himself. And you can order this by just going to his webpage, www.vagmore.com, and take a listen to this, and we'll be back with Vagmore very shortly after this track. Keep listening, KZSU, Stanford, and the Warpath.
King of the world.
The track King of the World, Mr. Vag Moore, Phonic Force.
Come to me now.
Are you here with me?
I'm there with you.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. So other than writing and getting this best of Phonic Force out, what else you got on your mind? Well, you got the airwaves to yourself to tell people. Anything, what else is in the life of Vag? Are you painting or anything?
It's not homosexual sex magic, is it?
Oh. No, that's not something I've ever been interested in.
Okay.
He gave that up when he left San Francisco.
Yeah, when I left San Francisco, You had to give up your little buddy, huh?
The dream died.
I think I would have gotten arrested if I wasn't doing homosexual. But now that I'm in Georgia, I just joined the Klan.
Oh, of course. Well, I mean, yeah, you're.
Isn't that? I mean,
isn't everybody who lives in the South part of the Klan in some way or another?
No, and I'm just kidding. I want to put that up. Kidding.
I know.
But it is. But I'm actually where we live is quite liberal. We live in Midtown, Atlanta, and it's probably the most liberal city in the South, Atlanta. So.
Buckhead like? Is Buckhead like the marina?
No, Buckhead is more like Pacific Heights.
Oh, it's more like Pacific Heights, okay. All right.
Without the hills.
Without the hills, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
What time is it over there?
Oh, hell, I don't care.
What is it? It's like...
I think it's like 1.
1 o'clock, yeah.
1:10. Like 8 minutes after 1 right now.
You're not going to pass out or anything on us? You're okay?
You know who the hell you're talking to.
So you got any good stories you want to, any memorable, I know you got millions of them, any memorable tour stories from back in the day?
God, I don't know. Are there any ones I can actually say on the air?
Well,
That's true. I don't know.
Might be true.
I don't know. Well, maybe if you just kept the cursing to a minimum, right?
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean, if you used technical terms as opposed to street slang terms to get through this, what do you think?
That's so boring.
Well, then just tell it like it is.
Well, you know what I can do is I could read a passage from my new book.
There you go.
Actually describes a situation that I ran into in one of my numerous touring excursions.
Well, let's hear
now,
a passage.
I might have...
This is like a preacher getting ready to read out of the Bible, man.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Badges up at the pulpit.
Yeah, let's go. Make it religious for me, honey.
Yeah,
with this, it's more like the poopit.
The poopit. Make it religious for me in
the
poopit.
Potty humor again.
There we go. See where it's after 10.
Yep.
All right, hold
after
on.
10, everything goes as far as the backside of the tree.
That's right. Well, that's okay. I've never had any. What's that?
Ready for this?
Yeah, I guess so.
Let's go.
Okay, now, for those less discerning or more discerning or more sensitive ears, you might not want to be listening to this.
Just remember, no cursing.
No cursing. I would find myself in these kinds of places on occasion after a lot of drinking and drug taking. It usually begins with my meeting some people in a bar or nightclub. We talk, drink. I flirt with whatever available or not available slag may be guzzling booze at our table. One of my newfound chums is holding some coke, or I inquire as to where I can obtain some. Once the said power is acquired, then it is off to the bathroom, where one by one, each of us goes off to hunker down in the crap stall, snorting lines off of the toilet tank, or my personal favorite, inhaling it off the toilet seat or keying it out of the bindle or baggie. At some point, my new friends and I must exit this fine drinking establishment. Then I'm compelled to ask, where can we go for some real fun in this town? If my fellow, hopped-up, sloppy-drunk, teeth-grinding, but equally as desperately horny as me, revelers have any deviant character traits, and I can sense they do, then they will know what part of town I would be referring, the kind of after-hours club I would be imagining, and precisely the kind of action I'm hunting for. Next stop, the dark alley that smells abundantly of urine and crap and liquor, the low thud of poorly composed dance music, and the unusually large doorman that cautiously looks me up and down as he quickly takes my money. At this point, I've usually abandoned my bar friends in order to free myself for new and better adventures. One particular night, I stumbled upon quite a scene, a large garage-type place with the entire room dominated by bathroom stalls. It seemed as if the room had once been a nightclub, but that the new owners had conveniently torn down all of the walls, leaving just toilets. Every stall had had its door removed, allowing the guest an easy view of each stall and the ability to witness the action going on therein. In one stall, a young, beautiful brunette with a short bob cut was squatting on the toilet as a very well-endowed man was stuffing her mouth with his penis. Standing next to this man was another man urinating profusely onto this girl's breasts. That's when I began to notice that it wasn't only the alleyway that was stinking of piss and crap, but the entire interior of the club. In another stall, a very pale redhead, red-lipped young lass was getting a severe pounding by another one of the club dwellers. As I peered into the darkness, I saw what seemed to be dozens of men and women, some making love, some sucking, some pissing, and some crapping all over one another. The entire club was one massive toilet bowl splattered with urine, feces, and cum. At first, I stood watching in amazement as these perverts rubbed, gurgled, licked, gagged, and squatted all around me. Having consumed a large amount of beer and whiskey, I pulled out my now stiffening penis and proceeded to send a large, long stream of pee all around the room like a sprinkler. It arched and spattered all over these masturbating sluts covered in poop and cum, drizzling down the backs of bent-over and humping young men, and in some cases directly into the mouths of these panting, bouncing, gyrating freaks. My voyeuristic tendencies took control, and I began pulling on my penis, which was hard almost instantly. I was totally consumed with this vision of an excremental orgy. I must have come about 10 times that night, my semen spraying everywhere on every whore. I staggered back to my motel just as the sun was coming up, trying my best to avoid other morning stragglers, my urine and cum-covered frame stumbling hurriedly through the morning chill. When I finally fell into my room, I collapsed into the bathtub fully clothed and turned the shower head on full blast. I knew it was going to take a lot of soap to wash all of this filth away. That's it.
Ah, very good. We applaud you, Mr. Badgemore. The audience.
Did any of that actually get on the air?
It all went on the air. I think the FCC is going to be knocking on your door in approximately 10 minutes. You better batten down the hatches and get out your shotgun because you're done for, sir.
Because you are done. Those actually might be the last words on the air for me and my show.
I think we're going to be having like little campaign, you know, street campaigns to free Vag Moore for free speech in Atlanta, Georgia, and the FCC. Now you've started the revolution, man. Now you've turned me into a general, and I have to fight it now. You know, it's like all I wanted to do is be a rock star. Now we have to start a civil war to help you get out of jail.
Yeah,
thanks.
Well, I guess I'm the white trash punk rock Martin Luther King.
Somebody had to be, right?
I guess so.
You got to wave that flag proudly.
Oh my God. Beautiful though. Beautiful. I love the clinical language.
Yeah, very.
I
nice.
Loved penis
and poop.
Well, I tried to clean it up.
Yeah. That was very. I commend you on that. I thank you for amending your written work to appease me and the FCC.
Yeah. You know, although I'm not so sure I did such a great job, but I tried.
No. Well, you know, that's all we could ask.
You did well, son. You did well.
You did well. We'll give you.
You did as good as you. You know what? You tried your best. You did as well as you could.
B minus.
You know.
That's very commendable.
Yeah, but you know. Oh, actually, hey, I hear the tanks rolling in right now.
That's right.
That's all I ask is that I get a passing grade.
Oh, yeah, you definitely got a passing grade.
Okay, good.
Very, very nice. So what else can they find out if they go to www.vagmore.com?
Well, if you go there, you can get, a bunch of interviews with me over the years. In fact, this interview will probably be on live, or not live, but streaming audio eventually. all of my occult writings. The first passage from Psychopathy, which I was just reading from, and various news and updates, certainly about the new Thonic Force Best of Delirium Tremens, the Best of Thonic Force. You can access the website that you can order that CD from on there, and you can also go to the Thonic Force MySpace page.
And what label is the new Best of Thonic Force album put out by?
It's on Discriminate Audio, which is owned by Brian Clark, who's worked extensively with Boyd Rice for the last few years. And, yeah.
Badge, I had a question about the occult writings and some of the writings on your website. Do you...
Yes, Professor?
Do you have anything from Primal Chaos up there?
No, but I you know, when we first started, when Brian first brought up doing the website, I had actually culled a bunch of articles from Primal Chaos, which is a magazine that I wrote with Sean and Wendy Van Dusen back in the 90s. I still have a bunch of those articles, and at some point, you know, when I finally get to calm down a little bit, I definitely want to include them onto the website.
Yeah, I think some of those are really, really well written. I think those are well written stuff.
I know that I wrote something. I wrote this great thing about Charles Manson and being sort of the archetype of Dionysus Shiva of our modern age. I know, from Blood Axis,
right.
Michael Moynihan was really impressed by that. He told me himself. And so yeah, things like that I definitely want to put up there.
And what about did you write the Sod versus Nietzsche? Did you ever write the Sod versus Nietzsche? Did that ever happen? That was an idea I had.
Okay. No, but I mean, now I'm just like, you know, for me, the triumvirate of ecstasy is Marquis de Sade. What I mean by that is the philosophical triumvirate of ecstasy.
Not just their physical self. You're not you don't have big crushes on them. You're talking about the philosophical.
Yeah,
I understand.
Yeah, I don't want to jack these guys off.
Okay. But you would.
Philosophically, the Marquis de Sade, Frederick Nietzsche, and Gustave Le Bon. Yeah, all those three together are just, you know, if you combine all of their voices together and sort of you can fashion a philosophy that I think is what, God, if you want to get anywhere near the Ubermensch, you definitely have to follow those three voices.
Now, I don't want to bore the audience, so I just have one last question, which is, somebody who I've been getting into a lot, or not a lot, but I found out of some of Colin Wilson's writings is Gurdjieff. Have you ever read any of his stuff?
Yeah, Gurdjieff. I mean, you know, when I go mystical, I prefer to go to Crowley.
Okay.
Gurdjieff is okay, but I don't like the idea of... he almost seems like an objectivist, like a mystical objectivist or something.
Okay. I mean, I haven't sat down and actually read anything yet, but he's been mentioned in some other things, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts were on him.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if I ever go mystical in any way, shape, or form, I go to Crowley.
Well, of course. I mean, who doesn't? Come on, I mean, you know, you're preaching to the choir here, you know.
Apparently.
I was just wondering what your thoughts were on the guy. You know, some of it seemed fairly practical, a lot of physical stuff, enlightenment through work, things like that, you know.
I'm just not that into his whole idea of, like, shutting off the subconscious mind.
Is that a big part of his philosophy?
Yeah, it's shutting down all the instincts and all the emotions and all the...
Really? That's interesting. No, I didn't grab that from some of the stuff I was reading, but about him, not so much. I have not read any actual manuscripts from him, but that's why I was asking, but I'll check that out. That's interesting. I don't know why anybody would promote anti-instinct.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is that a human animal...
It's crazy.
A robot.
It's almost Christian. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't
know, but it's close to Scientology.
Yeah, L. Ron.
Are we still on the air talking about this?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Let's not bore anybody else with this stuff.
It's Badge Moore Live, KZSU Stanford. Big Chief here with Sean Heskett and all the way from Atlanta, Badge Moore. And he's talking it up. Whatever's on his mind, he's talking it up.
Indeed.
So what else you got to... You want to play another Thonic Force track? You want to?
Yeah. Well, why don't we
give away?
I want to start a talk show.
You could be the next Jenny Jones.
Yeah, but I want to have like a team. Like you and I are a team, and we have like a, you know, like we do an hour or two of just like, you know, like be like Johnny Carson, got to tap my pencil on the desk and stuff like that.
I think Sean Heskett could be much more like Merv Griffin. He could be a typical Merv Griffin type.
Well, I think right now he could be more like Phyllis Diller.
Yeah, the way I look right now.
I don't know how he's dressed, but yeah.
Well, I'm on my way to a hot party.
How do you think Sean's dressed right now?
Do you want me to tell you?
I imagine there's pink, and I imagine there's feathers.
Wow. There's feathers.
There's definitely feathers.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Lots of black tonight, but
yeah.
Well, black is good, but there are feathers. I know my Heskett.
Yeah. You know, the common Heskett does include feathers.
Gotta have feathers in Heskett.
And, and he's sticking to the seat with his vinyl pants and whatnot.
When you look good, you feel good. You know?
Well, I mean, that's why, you know, I wear the black stretch jeans even now today, still.
Yes.
It was common dwarves wear, like everybody in the dwarves had to wear black stretch jeans. I was the first one in the band to do it.
Oh, of course.
Black followed me.
Well, of course. You're the leader.
Indeed. Well, yeah.
Well, I'm gonna get going.
You were secretly behind the scenes. Well,
let's go with that. Yeah.
Hold on. Go ahead and say your goodbyes.
I was gonna say my goodbyes. I'll hopefully have some email chat with you, some phone chat. Maybe I'll get some Tard Clown gas sent to me in the mail at some point.
Yes, Gaga.
But I gotta go right now because I have a big date with the city.
John, you are a very important person, and you have a lot of things to do.
Yes, that's right. Always.
Well, Sean, it was great to talk to you again. And
it's
you know,
great
I
talking
love you,
to you,
baby.
Buddy. I love you.
And anyone out there, go to the Inferno of Joy MySpace page, listen to their music, go to see their shows.
Thank you.
Oh, what a ringing endorsement there from Mr. Vag Moore to Sean Heskett. Well, Vag, I guess it's probably time to part ways. I know I have a few, couple CDs that you were so kindly and generously sent me to give away to some of our listening audience tonight. So I will definitely give those away. And do you have anything you want to say in parting?
Go to www.vagmore.com, experience the genius that is me, and why don't you listen to a great track by Sonic Force that features my good friend Boyd Rice. It's called Assume the Position.
All right, well, listen to this. And if you want a CD, feel free to call me in the next few minutes, 650-723-9010, and I will get one into the mail for you. Vag, when are you coming back to San Francisco to visit?
Am I allowed back there? I don't know.
Well, I think the statute of limitations has run out.
Well, if that's the case, I'll consult my attorney if that's the case. I'll be out there as soon as I can.
All right, and people could hopefully sometime soon see your work in a Borders books or something.
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, they already can. There was a book, Gigs from Hell, that came out of Head Press not too long ago that had an introduction by me.
Oh, okay. So Gigs from Hell with an introduction by Vag Moore. Check that out at your local underground bookstore. And let's listen to Assume the Position. Vag, I want to thank you once again for calling in tonight and chatting with you. It's been a long time since I've had the pleasure of your company.
I have not been able to wrap arms around the big chief in quite some time.
Yeah, I know. I don't know when the last time I've tasted your saliva was. It's been a while. But
maybe I can send you some in the mail.
Oh, that'd be sweet. That would be sweet. I will talk to you again soon. Thank you much.
Sure.
Here is Assume the Position, Thonic Force, off of the Delirium Tremens Best of Thonic Force CD, right here on 90.1 FM, KZSU, Stanford, and The Warpath.
Oppression is the opiate of the masses. People generally get off on it. Those at the bottom thrive under conditions of oppression, and those at the top revel in imposing such conditions. Human nature demands it. Society, exactly as it now exists, is the ultimate expression of sadomasochism in action. This is an S&M is a mere game. There's no role-playing involved. The roles are all real, with real masters and real servants. There's no dressing up required to be a player in this enactment. You don't have to wear your handkerchief in a certain pocket to signal your position as a sadist or masochist either. You simply assume the position. This is sadomasochism not as a fetish, but in practical application. The sting of the riding crop is replaced by a more generalized sort of malaise. But when all is said and done, it is still an expression of people luxuriating in pain and submission. To say that people love to suffer is viewed as decadent cynicism by many. But a cursory glance at the world around us would definitely seem to support such a thesis. How telling it is that even in the context of a system created in absolute ignorance of man's true character, he remains true to his nature regardless.